Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 63, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. 63. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you are our God, the rock of our salvation. We raise our voices to you in songs of praise and worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we bow down before your presence because we are sinful creatures and we need your help to live this life as we ought to live it. We ask you to forgive us for our failures of the past, especially of the most recent past. Let not the effect of those things hold us back from serving you with all our powers. Let not the evil which is in the world, nor the evil in ourselves, take a grip of us. Hold us with your powerful hand and direct the way we should go, so that our life may be a witness to your love and truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We welcome, as usual on the last Sunday of the month, the members of the Jesus and Me Club and their leader, Mrs. Louisa Chisholm, and they're going to present something to us. They did present Moses to us last month, and Moses didn't know he was going to be divided, but he's in two parts, and so we come to Moses part two today. Louisa.
This month we learned about Moses in the wilderness, the manna from heaven, the golden calf, and the 10 rules of the commandments. We've also done some stories about a wee boy called Jonathan and his toys, and this kind of explains a wee bit better the different laws, of which the kids have quite enjoyed it. There's a, you might have heard, there's eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and there's Made in China, and there's a King Arthur, and there's a dog called Sausage, and Coco the Clown. But they've also learned the two songs they're going to sing now. And before we sing them, I'd just like to say thank you to all my volunteers who've helped this session. They'll be off for the next 3 months, but they'll be back in September as usual.
Thank you.
Thank you, Louisa, and young people. Young people's hymn now from Junior Praise number 86. I am trusting you, Lord Jesus, 86. We read God's word, and I found a strange thing when I went to look up the Bible for today's reading. I find that in my copy of the New International Version, two pages of the letter to the Ephesians are missing. They haven't been torn out. It looks as though they just were never printed and put in there. I wonder if you've ever found that kind of thing. I don't know. Anyway, I have with me Philip's translation, from which I'll read the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 25. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25. Finish then with lying and tell your neighbor the truth. For we are not separate units, but intimately related to each other in Christ. If you are angry, be sure that it is not out of wounded pride or bad temper. Never go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that sort of foothold. If you used to be a thief, you must not only give up stealing, but you must learn to make an honest living so that you may be able to give to those in need. Let there be no more foul language, but good words instead, words suitable for the occasion, which God can use to help other people. Never hurt the Holy Spirit. He is, remember, the personal pledge of your eventual full redemption. Let there be no more resentment, no more anger or temper, no more violent self-assertiveness, no more slander and no more malicious remarks. Be kind to each other, be understanding. Be as ready to forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. As children copy their fathers, you, as God's children, are to copy him. Live your lives in love, the same sort of love which Christ gives us and which he perfectly expressed when he gave himself up for us in sacrifice to God. And reading this time from the New English Bible, John's Gospel, chapter 6, at verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And moving on to verse 41, at this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 200, "Christ is Made the Sure Foundation," 200.
Thank you.
The letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, at verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. When I was training to become a teacher, we were divided into two large groups. Everyone came into college for lectures on Fridays, but from Monday to Thursday each week, the two groups went their separate ways. One group was in college for lectures, the other group went out to various schools to do teaching practice. Halfway through each term, the two groups would switch places. Those who had been having lectures all week would go out for teaching practice, and vice versa. I was in the group which had teaching practice first. They said this to us quite simply. Just now, they said, this is practice. In the second half of term, it'll be theory. Theory and practice are both necessary when we're training for some activity. They're necessary for teaching, for medicine, for practical skills, craftsmanship of various kinds, and they are necessary for living the Christian life. The link between theory and practice is imitation, studying to be like those who are already masters of the craft. As with so many things in our present-day civilization, the idea of theory, imitation, and practice comes from the ancient Greeks. In particular, they spoke of it as the method to use for becoming an orator. Theory, imitation, and practice. The students in my day who had their course of lectures first before going out on teaching practice, I must say that had always seemed to me to be the more logical way. Learn something about the job first, then go out and see people doing it, and then try to do it yourself. All the same, there is something to be said for being thrown in at the deep end, being sent straight out to schools to do teaching practice, rather like the young birds being unceremoniously toppled out of the nest by the parent bird to encourage them to learn to fly. You would do it because you're there and there's nothing else for it. But theory, imitation, and practice. It's the imitation which is the keynote, really. I dare say we all carry with us into our life and work something of the imitation we practiced when we were at an early stage. Of course, we don't always imitate the best practitioners. I knew a man who was a very good and a very careful driver, but he was never keen to teach anyone else to drive. He insisted that he must have picked up bad driving habits over the years, and he didn't want to pass those habits on to anyone else. If we imitate those who have faults, we may very well pick up their faults with everything else we learn from them. Besides, if we imitate people too slavishly, we simply reproduce the other person's effort. We don't put enough of ourselves into it, and the whole thing will ring false. But Paul says to the Christians in Ephesus, as God's dear children, try to be like him. If we're going to try to be like God, if we're going to imitate God, where are we going to see him? How can we know what God is like so that we can imitate him? Where do we go for observation so that we can be equipped for practice? We go to Jesus. When those budding young orators in ancient Greece were preparing themselves for what they hoped would be a career of oratory, they had to go and see. The young student of oratory didn't just sit at his desk putting together a speech and then stand up in public somewhere and deliver it. Nor did he merely read the speeches of the great orators who'd gone before him. In the golden age of Greek civilization, and to some extent the same was true in the golden age of Roman civilization a few centuries later, the budding orator had plenty of opportunity to watch the masters at work and listen to them. Oratory was very much part of daily life. Listening to the great orators, Pericles and Demosthenes and all the rest of them, it was a regular part of life of the ordinary citizen. So those who wanted to learn the trade could get the opportunity for the threefold learning which the scholars advocated. They could learn the theory, they could imitate the great masters of the craft, and they could get practice themselves. In a way, it was the same with learning to be a teacher. I suppose it's the same with many trades and professions. It's a good, sensible principle. Learn the theory, see the masters at work, seek to imitate them, then practice the art yourself. The three elements in it can all be accommodated in the same program. Theory, imitation, and practice can all form part of the same course of study. We don't have to mug up all the theory before we go and see it being practiced by others. We don't have to stop watching and learning from the masters once we begin to practice ourselves. What that means where learning the Christian life is concerned is this. The Christian church is full of people who are all on the way to a Christian life. They're all in the process. All of us are still learning. We go on learning all the way through this physical life. We'll learn in the threefold way in which the orators of ancient Greece learned their craft, theory, imitation, and practice. In other words, we'll learn from books and from teaching, we'll learn from watching others, and we'll learn from practice. Those people who go round the doors trying to get us to subscribe to their particular brand of religion, insofar as they succeed in winning others to their way, they do so because people don't have a strong religious belief of their own. And because people have not got into the way of regularly receiving the teaching in the faith which the church can give. The early disciples of Jesus went about with him. They accompanied with him day by day, and they listened to him and learned from him about life and about God. It's the same Jesus who is at work in the church today. He is the one whom we come here to meet, to listen to and learn from. It's his teaching we're here to receive, and we'll receive it in different ways, even in a service of worship. There are not only the words we hear in the course of a service from minister or Bible, there are words we sing. Those are another important source of learning and inspiration to us, and we should not ignore the value of the hymn book. There are not only words. In fact, the main thing about the church service is not any of the words which are said or sung at all. The main thing about the church service is the fact of being in the company of our Lord. We are here because he invites us. We come here to meet with him. Our worship is a response to him. People who don't come to church may say, "I don't have time for all that stuff. I learned all that stuff when I was young in the Sunday school," or "I don't believe in all that stuff." People who refer to the Christian faith as all that stuff just have no inkling of what the Christian faith is. They don't know what the Christian life is. They think it's learning some facts or theories. They miss the point altogether. The point that the Christian life is a daily walk with a living Lord. People say they don't go to church because they don't have time. Their life is too full. They're too busy with absolutely essential things, and they can't make time for such a peripheral thing as religion or church going or learning to be a Christian. Getting the wrong end of the stick. God knows that we have a lot of things to do. Our day is filled with many activities, some of which are very demanding in terms of time and attention. God knows that we can't consciously be thinking about Him all day long. But if we give to God His proper place in our life, if we see Him in Jesus Christ and seek to be like Him, as Paul puts it to the Ephesians, it has an effect on all those other things that we do. It affects and controls and characterizes our handling of the day's chores and duties and events, all the things which call for our attention. We do these things better because we give our whole day to God. A tradesman has to spend time learning his trade. He might produce more work if he got on with it straight away, instead of spending years watching and learning from others, but he would not do it anything like so well. It's like that with being a Christian. Paying attention to the Lord characterizes our whole life. It gives to everything we do a special quality. And when we think that in our life, so much of what we do consists of interaction with other people, that makes it doubly important to set about it the right way. In the early days of the Christian church, when the disciples Peter and John were put in a tight spot by the authorities and gave a good account of themselves and stood up for the faith and defended the Lord, the authorities were impressed. And the one thing which impressed them most was the recollection that those men had been with Jesus. That is what makes the difference. The difference between a life which is effective and one which is not. That we have been with Jesus. We have to ask Him into our life every day, every week certainly as we meet for worship, but also every day so that our life can follow the right pattern. All the way through life, we should be learning. Learning by what we hear and read, learning by seeing our Lord at work in the lives of other disciples, learning by practicing the attitude to life, which is the characteristically Christian attitude. Keep on coming to church. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. See God in Him and seek to be like Him. Now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 268, O God of Bethel, 268. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all your goodness and ask you now to receive and bless our material offerings. Let them be used in the service of your church and kingdom, and help us likewise to dedicate ourselves to your service. Lord, your love shines through all our experiences and circumstances. We pray you to give us eyes to see the signs of your love in the things of every day. We thank you for day and night, summer and winter, and the changing seasons. We thank you for the love of those who share this earthly life with us. And we ask you to help us to be an encouragement to others to follow in the Christian way. We pray for the church, Lord, and ask that you guide it in performing its task. Help us all to realize that we are the church. Help us to be aware of what that means. Help us to work always for the betterment of those around us, for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for your greater glory. Bless those who rule, those who teach, and those who learn. Bless those whose work is dangerous, and help them to know that you're with them. Be with those whose work is humdrum and those who have no work to do. We commend to your care those who are ill. Inspire them with hope and with the knowledge of your care at every moment. Bless those dear to us wherever they are and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for the church universal and triumphant, the fellowship of those who belong to you in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great fellowship which reaches across the world and through the ages. Help us so to live that we follow faithfully in the way which has been shown to us, and unite us all in the joy and peace of your presence, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, if you were here last Sunday, you heard me mention the vacant post, or shortly to become vacant post, of treasurer in the presbytery. The presbytery is appealing for someone to fill that post, and there are 28 congregations, and the presbytery feels sure that in some of them there must be someone with the skill and ability and the willingness. So if you know of anyone, or if you are available, let us know and word will be passed on. Treasurer of the presbytery is quite a responsible and necessary job. Now we close this service with hymn 509, Jesus Calls Us. 509. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.